Welcome to the RV Entrepreneur Podcast, the weekly show for nomads, work campers, RVers, and entrepreneurs looking to earn a living or build a business while enjoying the RV lifestyle. This week's host is Kimberly Crossland. Let's settle in and enjoy the RV Entrepreneur Podcast brought to you by RV Life. This episode is sponsored by Wholesale Warranties.
Protecting your RV investment means being ready for anything. An extended RV warranty from Wholesale Warranties is the best way to make sure that if an RV failure happens, you can afford to get back to enjoying the RV life as soon as possible. RV warranties are available for motorhomes, fifth wheels, and travel trailers, new and used, across the U.S. Visit WholesaleWarranties.com for a free personalized RV warranty quote today and hit the road with peace of mind tomorrow.
Hello and welcome back to the RV Entrepreneur Podcast. I am your host, Kimberly Crossland, and I am so excited to be joining you today solo because I've got some tips and strategies for you, specifically around how you can lean into the summer months while you RV and still keep your business running. As an RV entrepreneur, that's a big deal to us. We want to be able to be outside in the sunshine. We want to be able to still go hiking and see all the different things, but we also need our business to keep running, right? We need to make money. We need to keep it afloat. We can't just totally take the summers off. So how do you find that elusive balance? That's exactly what I'm going to be sharing with you in this episode. So let's dive right in. Okay, the strategies that you're about to learn are exactly what I do each and every single year so that I can take more time off in the summer. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a mom to two wild boys. And when I say wild, I mean wild in the best way. But part of their wildness is that they like to be outside, and we like to be outside a lot. That makes doing things like Zoom calls a little bit trickier. It means doing things like taking time away from going to explore museums that are outside, going to the zoo, going to water parks, finding new trails, mountain biking together. That just doesn't happen when you have to be tied to a computer screen. And so the past few years, I've really looked at what I can do to set my business up for success so that I can have more of those memories with them. We can have that time together to really and truly seek adventure. So what I'm about to give you are my five things that I do each and every year, each and every May, so that I can have that time off, that freedom over the summer to really come up for air, breathe, re-energize myself as an entrepreneur, reinvigorate my ideas, find that clarity, come up with my new strategy going into the fall, and really take that time to be with my kiddos. So let's look at the very first thing that I do. The very first thing that I do is I look at my social media. Now, social media, the reason why I start here is because social media really feels like the heaviest part of spending time in the summer working on my brand. It really feels difficult because you have to show up consistently and prolifically and be in all the places and use all the right hashtags. And what becomes such a drain is trying to figure out what the heck to post each and every single day. Sometimes you feel super creative. And if you listen to my episode on here with Beth Suter of Beth Suter Art, then you know that there's some science behind the moon cycles that can help you to feel that creativity. However, there's a lot of times when you don't feel as creative, you don't feel like being on. And I have found that in the summer months, I typically don't feel quite as on. And that is because I want to be with my kids and my mind is a little bit elsewhere than on Instagram or Facebook or whatever social media platform you're on. You probably can relate to that. If you can relate to that, please come and share with me inside the Facebook group, the RV Entrepreneur Facebook group, because I want to know that I'm not alone on here. So with the social media, what I like to do each and every May is to get out ahead and to schedule as much as I can. There's a few different types of posts that I specifically like to schedule. The first of that is I like to schedule out about my content. Now, if you're not creating content over the summer or you feel like you need to take a break, that is okay. What you can do instead is link to past content. What have you posted in the past that can really help you to share to your audience little nuggets of wisdom and hyper-specific reasons why they might want to go and follow you? The other thing that you can do is start to link to your opt-in or to any kind of a freebie that you have. I'm going to get to that a little bit more in just a second. So I'm going to gloss over it for now, but don't worry, I'm coming back to it. And then the other thing that you can do is you can also link to engagement drivers. This is a great way to spark conversation over the summer months because here's the thing. A lot of our audience, they don't want to be on and doing all like the heavy lifting either. What they want is something easy to connect with, people who are easy to connect with. Give it that campfire feel. That's something we all know as RV entrepreneurs. So let's give it that same campfire feel. Here's about five different engagement drivers off the top of my head that you could use to schedule out. And as I name them, by the way, you're probably going to be thinking of a few more. Do a this or that post. This or that is an easy decision-making post. Do you like sweet or salty? Do you like mountains or beach? Those this or that posts do a lot because it doesn't require a whole lot of thought for someone to respond to it. It lets them quickly chime in with their opinion without it being something heavy or hard to think through and really pause too much. You can just spark that conversation, drive that engagement, and keep your feed active even when you're active somewhere else. Here's another one. Name the last thing you bought on XYZ store or at XYZ store. So it can be on Amazon, at REI, at Camping World, whatever it is. Name the last thing you bought for your RV. Whatever it is, you can ask them that question. And again, that is an easy and clear answer that they can give to you. Here's a third engagement driver, a fill in the blank. A fill in the blank, your go-to camping dinner when you very first roll into the campground is whatever. Or your most used emoji is whatever. Having them fill in that blank lets them very quickly answer off the cuff. It's an invitation just to finish that sentence. Here's another one. If you could do XYZ, what would it be? So for example, if you could donate $1 million to one cause, what would it be? If you could go to any national park, which one would you go to? Those again are pretty easy to answer. And the final one that I think is kind of fun is, what gets you out of bed each morning? Or what's your guilty pleasure? Let them get a little bit vulnerable and personal with you, and you're going to get to know your audience in a different way. That different way is a really great opportunity for you to start to understand who is behind the other side of the screen. And it's also really good data that you can gather over the summer while you're taking some time off and then use it going into the fall when you kind of come back to life in your business, come back online a little bit. Okay, let's look at the next thing that I do each and every summer before I take the summer off, and that is I do what I call flash optimization. Flash optimization is all about my website. So little quick caveat, if you don't have a website, let me tell you, it's one of the number one things that I recommend business owners get. A website does not have to be difficult, but it does have to be there. This is your domain. Literally, it's your domain. It's your digital place online that you can send people to. So when you are around the campfires this summer and someone asks you about your business, you have somewhere to send them beyond a social media profile. It looks more professional, it feels more professional, and it's a lot easier to remember. So that flash optimization is a really, really, really important thing. So when I say a flash optimization of my website, here's what I mean. I like to go in and look at my keywords. Am I still using relevant keywords? Can I be using new keywords? Should I freshen up my keywords? I also like to look at where I'm putting those keywords on my website. So I will often go in and make sure that every single image on my website has the alt tag. If you click into it, you should see that there's a spot for an alt tag. This is the only thing that Google can read about your images on your website. It's also what screen readers will read when they're reading aloud the pages to someone who is visually impaired. That way, they know what's on the page and they can kind of visualize it for themselves. So those alt tags are super important to have. I also like to look at the URLs on my website. Are there any places where I can shorten them up? Do I have the right keywords in them? I look at the title tags. Is the title of each of my web pages clear, but also filled with a keyword? Same with the different header tags on my website or on my web pages and in the blog post. Do those all have the keywords in them and are they optimized? The final thing that I look at are my internal links. Are those internal links linking outward and opening in a new tab when I go to an external source? Now, the reason why this is important is because when you think about the user experience or the customer experience, on your website, what you need to look at is why are they there? What are they hoping to get out of those pages? If we want to provide a really good experience, then we're going to give them what they came for, right? And that's not only going to help us rank higher on Google, but it's also just going to be a good steward of the internet. You're not wasting somebody's time. So I like to make sure that any of the websites that I link to that are not my own, and I will link to a lot of them that are not my own just to offer that reference and to give to other people, give that credit to other people where credit is due. But I like those ones to open up in a new tab. That way, my visitor, the user of my website can stay there, finish getting what they came to consume, and then they can go and dig a little bit deeper in the external sources that I've linked to. So I like to make sure that everything is set up in the right way and is opening in a new tab. All right, step number 3, and I promise to get to a little bit more about your opt-ins or your freebies. This is where I like to freshen up my own opt-ins and my own freebies. It's a great time because now you have something new and fresh to link to throughout the summer months, but you're not having to reinvent the wheel and show up consistently. So I have a few different things that I like to offer. And specifically for 2023, here's what I like to offer. Now, in the past, this is why I say specific to 2023. In the past, a lot of people have suggested offering a PDF or a digital download. There is certainly a place for that, but I like to elevate it a little bit more. And here's why. The digital download folder, on your computer is typically pretty crowded. It's also where I think that things go to gather a whole lot of digital dust. That means they're not going to get opened and eventually they're going to be taking up space and then just sent to the trash. Meanwhile, the person who opted in for it forgot that they opted into it. And now they're getting emails from you and they're thinking, I forgot where I found this person. I'm going to unsubscribe because I'm not really sure why they're here in my inbox. And now you've lost that lead. So here are 3 different types of specifically of freebies or opt-ins that I like to lean into, and especially for this year so we can avoid that digital dust. The first one is plain and simple, just a newsletter. I think that the newsletters are really coming back. I know that those newsletters are really coming back. And they're coming back in a big way because as we've heard all of the noise online, we've started to really lean into the voices that stand out and resonate and mean something to us. Now, that meaning to us means that we actually want to get to know them a little bit more. We want to consistently hear from them. I look at the newsletters and the emails that I open up regularly, and there's one thing in common. They're all from people or brands that I'm actually really interested in. So I open up ones like I love Reese Witherspoon's book club newsletter. She always has great book recommendations. It's an excellent one especially for the summer months. I'll link to it in the show notes if you guys would like to sign up. I also love to open up ones by The Home Edit because I'm really terrible at organization. But being an RVer, we need to be pretty darn good at organization. So it's nice to have that organization type of newsletter that I can open up and I can get inspired. There's several others, but one thing that I've noticed that's common throughout all of them is that it's a personal newsletter. It's a personal letter from the person who's writing or the brand that's writing. It feels like it's personal to me. And then they also offer a few suggestions and tips of things that I might like. Now, I like that so much that I've incorporated it into my own newsletter. And so that's important because when you're looking at your own newsletter and how you can really define it and grow it without it feeling overwhelming, you probably are going to want to write in a way that feels compelling to you so that you know that you have that value to offer to your reader. And it's a more exciting way to show up for your business each and every week. You can also get out ahead, of course, and you can write your own newsletter several months in advance. And when you have a structure, especially if it's similar to the one that I just described, where it's a letter to yourself, and then you also have some items that you might recommend or a few recommendations that you can make or links to other people's content, well, now you can really get out ahead because you can plan out what that's going to look like. You don't have to do all the writing right now, but at least you can create a plan when you're feeling your most creative, and then you know that it's there and the writing will be faster over the summer. That's optional, of course. The other thing that I like to do, and I've recommended to a lot of people, are private podcasts. There's a tool called helloaudio.fm that you can actually set up a private podcast. The same could be true if you're a YouTuber to have a private YouTube channel, of course, or a private unlisted playlist for your audience to tune into. But what's nice about that is it offers, again, that personal touch. You can build that relationship. They'll remember your voice. There's nothing more personal than voice. And so being able to remember your voice, they're more likely to remember your name, which means they're more likely to stay in your inbox and not unsubscribe, and you can build that trust with them. The final thing that I like, and it's again in that same vein, is I really like a free masterclass so that someone can actually walk away knowing something right after they sign up with you. So I myself offer one. You can go grab it if you'd like. It's at roadpreneur.com/money-RVE. Again, I'll put that in the show notes. And the reason why I offer that masterclass is because I get asked the same question a lot. And so I like to be able to point someone to a place where I can answer that a lot. This specific question for me is, how do I make money from the road? How can I start a business so that I can travel more often? Well, for me, it's easier to answer that in an hour-long video, which sounds like a lot, but people can put it on while they're driving. They don't have to watch the video. They can just tune in. Or they can listen to it or watch it when they're hanging out outside at their campsite, and they can really consume that information. We can go deep together. It's that depth that you just cannot get in a PDF. And so I like to have that as an option. Now, I actually have two out of those three on my website already. I've got the newsletter. I send it out every other Sunday. I have that one already, and I also have that masterclass. I know that these are there. I've been working on tweaking and developing that masterclass so that I know that it's something that's truly valuable. For the last few months, I've actually been taking a lot of feedback from people after I've offered that talk and they've sat through the masterclass and they've consumed it. I've taken their questions, their feedback, and then I've put that back into the masterclass. So I've been refining it. Now it is at a point where I feel really proud of it, that I can record it once. It's available when my audience, whoever it is, maybe that's you, whoever needs it, they can go download it. And I know with confidence, because I've been in this refinement mode, that what I'm sending them to over the summer is going to be super, super valuable. So think about that for your own business. What kind of opt-in can you offer to them? What is something that you can do to deliver that nurturing consistently over the summer without burning yourself out or your list out? And what is something where you can go deep with somebody on something, whether that's a private podcast or a masterclass, it's up to you. But offering that depth really lets you put something out there and then take your foot off the gas for a little bit and relax yourself. All right, number four, what happens after somebody opts in to get that information from you? Well, chances are you're going to want to continue that conversation. If you give somebody something really meaty and valuable, they're going to want a little bit more. They're going to want you to follow up with them. This is where your welcome series comes into play. Now, I typically like a welcome series to be about 3 to 5 emails, something that reminds them what they opted in for and why, something that helps them get to know you, the person on the other side of the screen, a little bit better, and then something that shares what to do next. If you're a business owner, then you're probably selling something. If you're not, then you're not in business, at least not yet. So what is it that they can buy from you? What's that next step? Where can they buy from you, get more from you? When you're able to offer that in your welcome series, it takes that question mark off the table. You're no longer having to require them to wonder how they can buy from you. I can hear some questions, not literally, of course, but I can actually hear some questions from you, the listener, about, well, what if I don't actually have a product to sell or a course to sell or a membership to offer? What if I do affiliate sales? What if I make my money with content views or something like that? You can still continue in your welcome series by sending your newfound subscribers to the videos or the content that gets the most clicks. And the reason why is because you're more likely to get more of those views, to drum up more of those sales through the affiliate marketing a little bit easier, and you can do it on autopilot. Now, how good does that sound? This is a great opportunity for us as RV entrepreneurs to do it on autopilot, but do it in a really personal way. I'm a huge advocate of welcome series, outlining specifically that it's a welcome series. So for example, you can say email 1 of 4, email 1 of 3, whatever it is, and then every single email will have that so that your newfound audience knows that you're not going to overwhelm their inbox and that this is a series that's a limited time and it's going to come to an end, but it's also really nice to have. Authenticity, my friends, goes a really long way in business. And so being able to be super clear about what you're doing, why you're doing it, will make it so that you can build that trust with your audience and you can really build that relationship a lot quicker. Also, you're going to avoid a lot of unsubscribes by doing it that way. Okay, final thing. What happens when they go to your website that you've optimized, they found you on social media, they have opted into your list, they've gotten your freebie, they've gotten your welcome series of 3 to 5 emails, and they are now at the end of that series and they are ready to buy. Well, when they buy, you still want to be able to show up for them. You still need to show up for them. To me, it's a moral obligation that you show up for the people who are giving you their money, their hard-earned money. And so the final thing that I like to optimize ahead of the summer months and the summer vacation is to make sure that my onboarding or the post-purchase process is clear and it's direct and it eliminates a lot of questions and it makes the person on the other side of that transaction feel really, really good. Because here's the reality. Buyer's remorse is a real thing. And when you can immediately ease that remorse and show them, wrap your arm around them and say, you're in the right place, I've got you, and you made a really good choice, they're going to feel really good about it. So again, this is a post-purchase series. Here's what I like to include in that post-purchase series. First of all, I like to say welcome. Throw them a party. It's a big deal that they decided to trust you and work with your brand. Welcome them inside. Make sure that they have access to what they need. Then let them know how you work. Let them know what to expect. How are they going to get the most results with what they just bought? Then let them know a little bit more about what to expect. Toss in a few testimonials. Let them know what your students or your audience or your members or people who've bought this in the past, what they've experienced. Let them learn from somebody else and just really solidify the fact that they've made the right choice with you. And then finally, let them know what they need to do. Let them know their own responsibilities with this so that they're not questioning what is expected of them now that they have access to your product. The more that you can continuously show them the path to getting the most out of that product that they just purchased, the more likely it is that they're going to continue to purchase from you and to recommend you to friends. And speaking of that recommendation, it's nice and it's absolutely okay in your post-purchase series to, after a week or two, go and check back in and ask them for any feedback. Make sure that they don't have any suggestions that could really elevate your product. It's a great opportunity to gather that feedback and really let them have a voice. And then also, if it's a positive feedback, then you get to have a review and a testimonial. Ask them if you can use that in your marketing. And now throughout the summer, by going through this 5-step process, you've now very organically and automatically and simply gotten testimonials that you can now leverage as we go into the fall months and really push that pedal to the metal and start building your business a lot more. I would love to know what you think about this process and if you're going to implement any of that. So come into the Facebook group, share it with us again. Here is the process. Just one more time. So if you're driving, I'm going to hammer this home so that you can remember it. The step number one is to go and schedule out your social media. Get out ahead so you don't have to have that stress of not showing up consistently. Go and optimize your website. Make sure that that's continuously showing up for your audience, that it's up to date. You're not missing any of those little small pieces that can really, really elevate your SEO. Go look at your opt-in. Are you offering something that's exciting, that's personal, that's going to go deep and really help them get to know you? And then what happens right after they do opt in for that? What does your welcome series look like? Does that look good? Does it look strong? Does it look personal? Does it look nurturing? The same thing goes with your post-purchase series. What does that look like for your audience? So these are the 5 steps, again, that I take each and every summer. And I encourage you to do this as well, especially as we go into these warm summer months. And again, I'd love to hear from you what you think about it. I will drop the links to everything that I talked about here in the show notes so that you can have access to them, including my free masterclass about how you can earn money from the road. Now, this is a really good one. Like I said, I've been working hard to refine it. So I know that it answers a lot of questions, sparks a lot of really good ideas. It's definitely one that you're going to want to look up and take some time out to watch. Pop your earbud in and make your way around the campsite for about an hour. You can go for a walk and listen in. Or you can relax, kick your feet back in your zero gravity chair and listen in as well. Wherever you want to listen in, there's no wrong place. So you can go and take a look at that and listen in at roadpreneur.com/money-RVE and It's waiting there for you on demand. So it's there for you at your schedule. So great to be with you as always. And I will be back next month, not for a solo episode, but I'm going to be interviewing someone pretty outstanding. So I hope that you come back, tune in, hit the subscribe button, and stay close because RVE has a lot of really great information coming your way this summer. So good to be with you. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.